In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
What is the worst possible sin that a person could commit? What is the absolute worst thing that someone could do in God's sight? The first thing that pops into most of our minds is probably something that has to do with a felony. An act of violence and hatred, or perversion and immorality. Murder, rape, molestation. Something like that would have to be the worst. And indeed, such things are egregious and flagrant sins against God. But there is something even worse than those things in the eyes of heaven. In today's gospel, Jesus is in the midst of telling the disciples about the coming of the Holy Spirit. He is describing to them and to us what it is that the Holy Spirit will do when He has come. One of the things Jesus says the Spirit will do is this. He will convict the world of sin because they do not believe in Me. What is the most damnable sin there is? Not to believe in Jesus. There is nothing worse than that. Unbelief is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, which is the only unforgivable sin there is. This is the real problem with the world and with fallen human beings. It's not simply that society is immoral and rebellious and greedy. Those are but symptoms of the real problem. The root of the matter, the heart of the situation, is that people don't love God or trust in Him or have faith in His Son whom He has sent. They don't worship the Father and acknowledge Him as the source of every good and perfect gift. They don't receive Jesus as the only Savior from sin or rely on His all-atoning death on the cross. Instead, they believe in themselves and consider themselves to be the master of their own self-chosen identity. They pat themselves on the back, forgetting where they've gotten in the world. They figure that if they keep their noses clean, they can earn their way into some eternal reward by doing a little more good than bad. They may even be religious, but their spirituality is self-focused and self-reliant. God is just a part of their formula for achieving worldly happiness. They've got no real need for a Jesus who is a Savior. Maybe a Jesus who is a counselor or an advice giver so that they can make a better life for themselves, but not a Savior from sin. There is no greater insult and affront to God than to treat Him in that way. Jesus did not take on your flesh and blood and sacrifice His life on the cross just so that He could be another guru giving you principles for living. Jesus came to give you a whole new life, His own. Those who love their own lives, who have justified themselves and their behavior in their hearts, reject Jesus and the life He comes to bring. It is this sort of self-centered, self-satisfied, self-justified way of life that is the greatest rebellion against God and the biggest slap in His face. In John 6, Jesus was asked by the people, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He sent." It is God's work that you must trust and believe in Jesus. That is the work that the Holy Spirit accomplishes in you. And apart from that work, you can do nothing good. For it is written in Romans 14, whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. You see, since everything we are is by nature tainted and infected by the fall, none of us can do anything that is truly a good work apart from Christ, apart from holding to Him and His saving truth. No matter how good a person may appear to be, humanly speaking, if they are not a believer in Christ of the Scriptures, It is all bilge before God, for it proceeds from a heart that doesn't trust in Him. Only what proceeds from faith in Jesus is good, for He alone is good. Only works that are sanctified by Christ's blood are good works, which is another way of saying that it is not our works that are good, but Christ's works are good in and through us. He dwells in us to live in love toward God and our neighbor. So, let us be rid of all thinking or talk which says, so-and-so is a good kid or a good person, church just isn't their thing. How could that be true if they are persistently ignoring the words and the sacraments of Jesus, which alone create and sustain true faith? Hebrews 11 says that without such faith, it is impossible to please God. Let us rather be like St. Paul, who followed the law steadfastly even before his conversion, but who said that he counted all of that as rubbish and refuse, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. This is the second part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Having convicted the world of sin, having brought us to repentance, He then proclaims and gives out the righteousness of Christ, who is seated at the right hand of the Father as Lord of all. That is the heart of what the Holy Spirit is about. Jesus said that the Spirit will take what is of mine and declare it to you. That is the Holy Spirit's job. Not to point to Himself or glorify Himself, but to point to Jesus and glorify Him. To take the gifts of life and salvation that Jesus won for you and dish them out to you. The Holy Spirit is the delivery man of the Trinity, who brings the blessings of the cross to you in the packages of the Word and the sacraments, that you may receive them and open them by faith. Just as the Son of God was sent to reveal the Father, so now the Holy Spirit is sent to reveal the Son, and thereby bring you back into fellowship with God, the blessed Holy Trinity. The Holy Spirit, then, is the real preacher in the church. He is the one who preaches the gospel to you, that you may be led in all truth. St. Paul declares, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed. Through the words of the gospel, the Spirit reveals and gives to you Christ's righteousness. He speaks Jesus' righteousness into your ears so that the Heavenly Father no longer sees your defilement, but only the holiness of His Son. Jesus came into this world to make a trade with you, dear friends, to trade your sin for His righteousness. Through the cross, you and Jesus exchanged places. He became the guilty one so that you would stand as the innocent one before the throne of heaven. And that is what you are, you who have been convicted of sin and led to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit, innocent in the eyes of God. For you have been put right with God. It is written, having been declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You do not have a righteousness of your own from inside of you, but you do have a righteousness, that which is through faith in Christ, from outside of you. Martin Luther once said the following when preaching on this gospel. It is a particularly consoling message which the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, proclaimed in the world through the mouths of the apostles. Indeed, what is more comforting than that all sins, regardless of how many and great, are canceled, forgiven, covered up, and not reckoned to our account because we believe in Christ? And that He who has such faith is declared righteous before God without any work or merit on his part, but solely through faith in Christ. A more comforting message could not be preached to the world. You must cling to that message of the Holy Spirit with all your heart. Don't be tempted to look at yourself and say, there's no way God can forgive or accept someone like me. Instead, learn to say, even though I don't deserve it, I know that God loves and accepts me, for He is merciful and compassionate, and He has atoned for all my sins in His Son, Jesus. In fact, don't look to yourself at all, but always look only to the cross. For through faith in the work accomplished there, you are saved and declared righteous in God's sight. But at the same time, dear friends, be prepared for the devil and the world to oppose you because you have such faith in Christ. The world portrays those who follow Christ and take God's word seriously as being a bit wacko and on the fringe of society. This has never been truer than it is in our day and age, and it will only get worse as time goes on. To hold to the exclusive claims of historic and authentic Christianity, to believe that the Holy Bible is not just another ancient book, but the inspired, inerrant, revealed Holy Word of God Himself, is viewed by the world, and amazingly even by many who claim to be Christian, as superstitious, ignorant, unloving, and intolerant. To hold to such claims is becoming more and more unacceptable in our day and age. For the world says, who are you to suggest that only those who believe in Jesus can be saved? What about all the other good people and religions in the world? Don't my efforts at moral living count? You Christians just want to impose your thinking on everybody else. And because the world says this, many who claim to be Christian go out of their way to remove the offense of the gospel, doing their best to create a church for people who don't like church, and giving the impression to the world that Christianity is a tolerant, loving religion which is open to all people regardless of what they believe. And when true Christians step forward and confront these false teachers, revealing their teachings to be the lies that they are ridiculed and persecuted, called unloving and closed-minded, and their refusal to compromise with the world is said to be the reason why Christianity gets a bad name and the church doesn't grow. To all of this, Jesus says here, take heart and be of good courage. You must not let the opinion and judgment of the world affect you. For ultimately, their words come from the devil, who is the prince of this world. And he cannot help but condemn and persecute Christian faith and the righteousness of Christ. Do not fear or waver, for the prince of this world is judged. His condemnation can do you no harm, for he himself is condemned along with all those who parrot his empty words. It is written in John 3, he who believes in Jesus is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And it is also written, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. This is the third part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, to proclaim the defeat and the judgment of Satan, the ruler of this world. Christ conquered him forever by his cross and resurrection. Jesus retains the upper hand when it comes to judging, no matter how wise or powerful the people of the world appear to be. Jesus alone is wise and righteous, while all others, Scripture says, are fools. In the end, Jesus will have the last word on the last day, and all those who refuse to believe in him will receive the same judgment as Satan, eternal torment in hell, no matter how unpopular it is to make such claims in our society today. So then, it is indeed to our great advantage that Christ went away through Good Friday and Easter to the right hand of the Father. For only in this way could our righteousness have been won for us. Only in this way is the Holy Spirit now poured out on us to rescue us from unbelief and to bring us to saving faith in Jesus. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, to convict us of sin and lead us to repentance, so that He may deliver Christ's righteousness to us through the Holy Word and sacraments, and assure us that the devil and all who belong to him cannot harm us, for they have already been judged. The Holy Spirit, my friends, is present with us this morning, as He always is when we gather in His house, to accomplish His work in you, to point you to your Savior Jesus Christ, and to deliver the forgiveness, life, and salvation He won for you through the pronouncement of holy absolution, the read and preached Word of God, the very body and blood of Christ in the Holy Eucharist, and the blessed benediction allowing you to depart in true peace. This, and only this, is the work of the Holy Spirit. God grant you to know ever more fully and deeply this help and comfort of the Holy Spirit, to whom with the Father and the Son belongs all glory, honor, and praise, now and forever. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.